I want to welcome those of you who are in refuge and our friends at Wartburg Watch. We've already had a wonderful time of worship here in our early service in the auditorium. And let me just say to those of you who may be watching on Wartburg, if you would like to receive a CD of our choir and orchestra singing some of the great hymns mixed with modern choruses, I'd love to give you one for free. You're not able to enjoy the worship that we do because you're watching just the worship service or the teaching time of the worship service online. But send me an email and we'll get one to you and you'll enjoy what we enjoy every week. If you have a Bible, I'd like for you to open to Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to look at just one verse of Scripture this morning as we talk about Abraham and how he thought in his mind during some difficult times and what it was in terms of his thinking that kept him going. Let me say, if you're here this morning and your journey of faith, your walk of faith with Christ has hit a rough spot, if maybe things have happened around you and you've really wondered whether or not God has any interest in you, whether or not He loves you, and it's difficult to fathom that your invisible Creator has affection for you, if you're really going through a desert time, I think the message this morning will encourage you. Because the text that we're about to read gives us a peek inside Abraham's brain. Remember, last week we saw that God called Abraham when he was in the land of Ur. We would know it as Iraq, around the city of Baghdad. And he told Abraham, I want you to come to a new land, a land that I'm going to give you and your descendants. We know it as the land of Canaan. And the scripture says in Hebrews 11 that Abraham obeyed God by faith. Not even knowing where he was going, he said, I will, God, I will go. And remember I said to you that it is far more important for you to say to God when you hear his call on your life, I will, rather than I can. Because the truth of the matter is, God is not so much interested that we are assured of our abilities as He is our will. Abraham said, I will. And if God is calling you this morning, be like Abraham and say, I will, Lord. I will follow you. I will make you my king. As Abraham came to the land of Canaan, there were all kinds of obstacles in his walk of faith. All kinds of things that arose in front of him that caused him to trip and stumble. We looked at them last week. But the text that we're about to read tells us precisely what kept Abraham going when things got tough. One verse of Scripture, verse 10 of Hebrews 11. The scripture says, for he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Now, what does that mean? Abraham had an eye for the city with foundations. What is that? Well, there's many synonyms for this city with foundations. We might could call it your ultimate destination. You might know it by the one word, heaven. It is the end of one's life, when the invisible king is made visible. It is that time when you draw your last breath and you enter into the city with foundations. What kept Abraham going in this life when things were tough was that he knew he was going to a city that God had built. And the everlasting, eternal King of the universe was his king here and now. So when things got a little rough and a little tough, it was okay, because he had his eye on the city with foundations. The Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 3 says this: if you have been raised with Christ, if you have been saved by the grace of God, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Abraham had an eye for the city with foundations. Charlemagne was the emperor of Rome. And in 814 AD, right before his death, the emperor ordered that he be buried with his crown on his head, his scepter in his hand, and his regal robe around his shoulders. When Charlemagne died, his orders were carried out, and he was buried in a tomb. 200 years later, Emperor Othello wanted to determine whether or not Charlemagne had been buried as requested. So he sent a team into Charlemagne's tomb to examine. And what they found in that tomb was something pretty grotesque. Charlemagne was just now a skeleton. His crown had fallen from his head at an angle. His robe had been moth-eaten, and his staff had fallen aside. But there was a book in his lap, and a bony finger from Charlemagne pointing to this verse. And the excavators reported to the king that the verse was Matthew 16, verse 26, which says, "What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul?" C.S. Lewis once said, "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in the world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." This is the world that Abraham was looking for. And I want to describe it for you this morning using the text that we read a minute ago. Abraham was looking. He had an eye for the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Let's take a look at this city. It's your final destination, and it's the only thing that will keep you going in this life when things get tough. First, according to our text, our final destination is a city of fellowship. For he was looking for a city. Now, the Bible doesn't give us much information about heaven, but the words that Scripture uses to describe our final destination are inspired. And heaven is called a city. Now, I want you to know that if you have any kind of concept that heaven is a place where you're going to float around on some cloud looking like an angel with wings, and you're going to be in a perpetual worship service, you need to erase that image from your mind. Jesus himself said, "The meek," that means his people, his disciples, "will inherit the earth." Revelation tells us that one day the city that God is building will descend from the heavens and will unite with the earth, and our eternal home will be a city with many rooms. It's what Jesus described in John 14 when he told his disciples, "Do not be worried. When I leave you, don't let your heart be in fear. For I am going to prepare a place for you, and I will come again to receive you unto myself." The scripture is quite clear that this city, whose architect and builder is God, is our final destination. And one day, that city will be united with this earth, where the curse has been reversed, and Jesus, the King of Kings, will reign in this world, and you and I will be a part of his reign. This city is a place of fellowship, which means heaven is compared to a city because it is a place of connection. Listen, if you think being a Christian is about being a monk and isolating yourself from people, you're wrong. A city is a place where people dwell, all kinds of people. New York City has become my wife and my favorite place to vacation. We have many friends there. We have a lot of ministry going on there from our church through graffiti. It's remarkable the doors that the Lord is opening. We are hoping within the next couple of years to partner with the shortstop for the Atlanta Braves, who considers our church his home church. When he was here with his team, won the national championship for the junior college, national championship 2 years ago, he sat right up here in the balcony. I paid for his breakfast at IHOP because he didn't have any money. They just offered him $60 million. He wants to go to the Bronx and run sports camps for underprivileged African-American kids, Puerto Rican kids. We want to partner with graffiti to do ministry like that. It's exciting what is going on. But when we go to the city, we see people all over the place. The Bible doesn't say that our final destination is a pasture or a farm. It's a city. Now, those of you who are farmers and you love being out in nature and you love seeing God in nature, let me tell you something. You're going to inherit the earth. For eternity, you will explore the world as it was created to be. There will be no fear of animals in the hearts of men, nor fear of men in the hearts of animals. And you will explore this world in ways you've never dreamed, but your home will be a city. Which means the more you learn to connect with people here, the more prepared you will be there. You say, "Well, Pastor, here's the problem. All of my problems in this life are with people. If I didn't have to deal with people, I wouldn't have any problems." Yeah, I understand that. But let me remind you of something. When you get there in the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God, he wipes away every tear you have. It's difficult for you to imagine all of your bitterness gone, all of your hurt healed, all of your dysfunction disappeared. It's difficult for you to even comprehend relating to people who've offended you. But when Jesus shows you all the offenses in your life that he's forgiven, you won't be able, you can't help but enter into relationship with all kinds of people you're struggling with now. It's a place of connection. Second, heaven is compared to a city because it is a place of confidence. What that means is, you know, today when we think of a city like Oklahoma City, I saw in the newspaper that the murder rate has skyrocketed. I know 20 years ago when my wife and kids, when we moved from Tulsa, Oklahoma to Enid, one of the drawing points of coming to this wonderful smaller city was you didn't have the crime here that I was very familiar with in Tulsa, being a police chaplain. But in the old days, in Bible days, it was just the reverse. People were not afraid of cities like we are today. They wanted to be in cities because they were walled, they were protected, there was security, and there was safety. And so when the Bible calls heaven a city, it's a place where people are secure. It's a place of confidence. It's a place of rest. It's a place where there are no fears. It's a city that God has built for us. Third, heaven is compared to a city because it is a place of comfort. It is difficult for you to imagine a place where your eyesight does not need correction. It is hard for you to think of a place where you do not age or grow old. It is difficult for you to fathom perpetual fellowship with people you love for year after year, decade after decade, millennia after millennia, with your body in the proper proportion, with never really feeling as if you're out of control, lost, anxious, worried. You cannot imagine living life where you don't have to fret about how to pay your next water bill. Did you catch that? You don't have to fret about retirement. It's a place of comfort. Because Jesus is King. And everything that destroyed the world that God originally created has been dealt with. And death is the last enemy Christ conquers. He himself has conquered it and has become the first fruits. But when you die, it's your last enemy that he defeats for you. So, your final destination is a city of fellowship with your Savior and King and with people you love. Second, our final destination is a city with foundations. It's what our text says in verse 10. For Abraham was looking for the city which has foundations. Now, what does that mean? Well, any of you who've ever built anything, you understand that that which has foundations lasts. If you have a house or a building without foundations or with faulty foundations, you're not going to want to be in that house. It's the same thing that Jesus said in his parable of the house that was built on shifting sand. This life is like living in a house without foundations. This is what Abraham discovered as he followed God in this life. He said, Lord, I don't know where I'm headed, I don't know where I'm going, but I will follow you. You are my King. I will, Lord, I will go. Whatever you say, I will, Lord, you are my King. I love you, I will go. Abraham went. And then when he got to Canaan, good night, it was not easy. He had to live in a tent for 75 years. He had enemies all around him. It was not easy to follow God. But Abraham had his eye on the city with foundations. Meaning, he wasn't all wrapped up in this life. He was looking toward the next. Someone has said that you better get heaven into your heart here and now, or you will not get your heart into heaven then and there. The old Puritan John Trapp put it like this: heaven has foundations, earth has none. This is why it is said in the Bible that things are on earth, but in heaven. It's the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven has foundations. Earth has none. Let me just say to you, if you are wrapped up in the things of this life, material possessions, prestige, what people say of you, if you are consumed with the things here and now, things that have no foundation, when they prepare your naked body for your funeral, and they gather to say nice things about you, you will be in the city with foundations. And my encouragement to you is that you remember the only way you can get through this life is to have an eye on that city. If you ever want to know why culture has turned so crude and so vulgar, if you ever want to know why comedies even 15 years ago looked like Disney movies today compared to the comedies that are coming out now, if you want to know why culture is so vulgar, so crude, so amoral, if not immoral, oh, it's easy. Nobody has an eye on the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Now, those of you who are young, you're full of life and full of health. This is difficult for you to hear because you can't imagine this life coming to an end. All you're worried about is that things go well for you now. All I can say to you is I wish you could travel with me, walk with me, give me a week, maybe a month, if possible a year, and I can show you 2-year-old infants who die in their cribs, 14-year-old boys who have their legs cut off and almost die through farming accidents. I could show you 21-year-old mothers who've given birth, have a small child and are pregnant and died in an automobile accident. I could show you people whose life here comes to an end in an instant. It's one of the reasons why when tragedies come to a place like America, whether it's world war, or whether it's 9/11, or whether it's a great earthquake or something that causes people to sense this life is temporary, that's not a bad thing. The worst thing that could happen is for people to live this life believing that it has foundations when the Bible says it doesn't. Abraham was looking for a city with foundations. But I close by showing you this. This city, which is our final destination, is a city ever so fabulous. Ever so fabulous. Look at the last phrase. The scripture says, God is the architect and builder. Do you know what that means? Have you ever seen any statement where it is said God is the architect and the builder? That's amazing. Whatever you think heaven might be, you haven't even come close. Whatever you envision your final destination might be in terms of beauty, in terms of comfort, whatever you might picture in your head regarding your eternal home, you haven't even come close, because God is the architect. and builder. These pictures so silly. Oh, you don't even know what he's prepared. My wife and I now have an empty nest. Logan took him down Thursday to the University of Oklahoma, putting our fourth through college. Rochelle is getting her doctorate from Vanderbilt. It's a stage in our lives where things are changing. And we still have Karis's dog in our house. A Great Dane. This dog has never slept on the floor. She has always been in a human bed. Our youngest son, Logan, has slept with Gracie for the last 4 years in his bed. When he left home, guess where Gracie went? I told my wife that I'm not going to be sleeping with two women. That dog will not be in our bed. Have you ever tried to train a Great Dane who's 4.5 years old, who's used to sleeping in a bed? The good news is we succeeded. Let me tell you what we did. We built a new bed for Gracie. We got the finest, most comfortable silk sleeping bags. We got the finest and best quilts my wife has made. We stacked up pillows. It literally looked like a king's bed. Gracie comes up that first night. We knew she would want to jump in bed with us. But her eye caught the new bed. She comes over. She looks it over. She smells it. She feels it. She gets on it. And she stays. I was relieved. I'd put Gracie on the Great Dane Rescue Site for Oklahoma. Didn't tell my kids. Began receiving calls of people who wanted to adopt Gracie. My kids found out about it. They were furious. I was able to call them in a couple of days and tell them, no, Gracie's not in Mom and Dad's bed. How did you do it, Dad? We gave her another bed, and her eye is on that one. Let me encourage you to remember something. As you go through life, you get comfortable with the things that you have and the way things are. You build your security blankets. You get comfortable laying down in the places that you like to lie. But when things begin to change, when things begin to shake up, let me encourage you to remember something. The only way you will be able to get through life during difficult days of change is when you have an eye on the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God, and you stop believing that everything in your life revolves around what's going on here. It's not fashionable to talk about heaven in these days. But it is the only thing that will wake you up to the danger of clutching to things that are on earth. Let's pray together.